As many of you know, we have several women of our community making the Axe Retreat this weekend from Queen of All Saints, from Sacred Heart, and from St. Joseph's. So that's what we all keep them and their families, and of course, those who are staffing the retreat this weekend in our prayers. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." We hear an awful lot about the temple in the scriptures, but none of us maybe really understands what the temple is. So I'll kind of explain what it was, what its function was, and what its symbolism was with the Jewish people. So the great temple of Jerusalem was the central worship place of the Jewish people. Every town, every community had a synagogue, a house where the five scrolls of Moses were kept, a place where they went to pray on the Sabbath and be able to study the scriptures and hear the preachings of the rabbis, offer their prayers. But the temple was the place where you offered the sacrifice of animals for sin. So while there were many, many synagogues, there was only one temple in the city of Jerusalem itself. And if they could, the Jews would go there at least once a year to celebrate the Feast of Passover, where all the lambs were slaughtered for the Passover feast. And so the great temple of Jerusalem was the very heart and soul of the Jewish people. It was situated on Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham was to sacrifice his son Isaac. It was high above the city, overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and it was the one place where they believed that God could and would come down to dwell on earth. It was a place where his people could direct their prayers and their hopes, a place to find forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God, to come before God in adoration, worship, and praise. It was a place of prayer. It was also a place of study, a place of sacrifice, and a place where the scriptures were copied and the Jewish law was put into place. The innermost part of the temple, in which only the priests were allowed to enter once a year during the Day of Atonement, was called the Holy of Holies, Bet Kodesh HaKodashim in Hebrew. In the earliest days of the first temple of Solomon, the Ark of the Covenant was kept there. And the Ark was the beautifully decorated and built container that had the two stone tablets of the commandments that were given by God to Moses. There was a jar of the manna, that bread that came down from heaven to feed the Israelites during their wandering in the desert. And there was the staff of Aaron, Moses' brother, and the first priest of the covenant of Sinai. These things were placed in the Holy of Holies in the same way that we have the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle in this Holy of Holies and the sanctuary of the church. That first temple built by Solomon was destroyed when Israel was taken over by their Babylonian enemies. After that, the Jews were sent away from Israel into exile, but a generation later they came back and began to rebuild from the ruins of that temple. Later, that one became enlarged and completely redone in great glory and splendor by King Herod. That was the great temple that stood during Christ's time. It was built with that beautiful beige-ish white Jerusalem limestone, built with the finest marble, the finest woods that they could find, adorned with gold. It was, in reality, a city, a shining city on a hill. It was a huge complex, at least 5 football fields large. Imagine 3 football fields side by side, one on the top, one on the bottom. And you have a great courtyard there, built in stone, a place for the people to gather, and then the great temple itself that was a few stories high. As great as that temple was, it would be destroyed by the Roman army 40 years, keep that number in mind, 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, after his ascension into heaven. Today, if you go to Jerusalem, all that's left of that great temple of Solomon is simply the western wall of the outward gate. That is what they call in the Wailing Wall by the Jewish people, where hundreds, if not thousands, of Jews gather together each day to mourn for the temple and to pray for its restoration. An Islamic mosque, a Muslim house of prayer, stands in the place of the temple today. But Christians understand that there is no longer a need for a temple, and there isn't. No longer a need for a temple as there once was. Every function of that great temple in Jerusalem, the presence of God on earth, the sacrifices of animals for sin, the copying and study of the Jewish law, all the rites and ceremonies of the Old Covenant, all these things are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. All of those things in the temple and the temple itself were simply signs that were pointing toward Christ. We understand and believe that Christ himself is indeed, as the Son of God, the presence of God here on earth. Physically when he walked this earth, physically in the Blessed Sacrament. He is the one and true high priest who offers the sacrifice of himself for our salvation to the Father. He is, as he said, the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is the Word made flesh. He himself is the law and the commandments. Christ is our sacrifice and our salvation. He is the Lamb of God who has taken upon himself the sins of the world and has reconciled us to God. Thus Christ is himself the true temple, the temple that was once destroyed on the cross but rose again 3 days later from the tomb. Back to that number 40. 40 years after Christ's death and resurrection, that symbolic number of purification and renewal, 40 years after Christ's death, the army of Rome came into Jerusalem, destroyed the city, and destroyed the temple. That's what happened to it. Left nothing else left but that wailing wall. However, not long before Rome destroyed that temple, two Jews set foot in the city of Rome, and there they planted the seeds of a new faith that would spread throughout the city, a faith that would suffer a great deal of persecution, but in the midst of persecution, that faith would grow stronger and stronger still. Those two Jews, a rabbi named Paul and a fisherman named Simon Peter, who we know of as apostles, those two would give their lives for Christ in that city, but the seeds that they planted produced such abundant fruit that in time, the whole of the Roman Empire would find itself no longer worshiping false gods, but instead it would worship the one true God and come to have faith in his Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is where we find our faith, through the teaching of the Roman people and the expansion of the empire where our ancestors come from. The church. The church is the body of Christ. The church as the body of Christ is the new temple of God. We have become God's dwelling place on earth as Christ comes to dwell in our souls. By God's grace and the sacraments, all of us have become temples of the Holy Spirit. Temples that must be free of filth or corruption, free of falsehood and lies, theft and greed. Those lies, that theft, that greed symbolized by the money changers that Jesus removed from the temple. Following God's commandments through Moses, you and I are always to place our faith, our hope, and trust in God alone as his temple. We are not to put our faith in created things or persons or superstitions or any false gods, but instead, you and I must be faithful to our baptismal promises, our marriage vows, our religious vows, the promises of holy orders. We are never to swear by God's holy name, but always to bless his name. We must honor his rest and his rising on the Sabbath by our resting and rising to new life in the Sabbath ourselves, as we do this morning at Mass. We are to give honor and respect to our parents, our elders, and those who have legitimate authority. We must be people who give respect, even if respect is not returned to us. We do not lie, we do not cheat, we do not steal, we do not kill. We hold truth, honesty, and life as sacred. We do not lust in our minds or our hearts. We do not defile our bodies with lewd conduct or contraception, fornication, or adultery. We do not wallow in filth in thought or word or action. Instead, we have pure hearts and minds and deeds. We honor the marriage covenant and the marriage bed as God intends, in unity and in openness to life. We are not jealous or petty. We do not hate or crave with envy our neighbors or their goods or possessions and blessings. Instead, as St. Paul says, we as the body of Christ, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, rejoice with those who rejoice. We comfort those who are in sorrow. We assist those who are in need. In a word, we must be love. We must be love. We must be joy, and we must be peace. These, my brothers and sisters, are things that the world, so apart from the heart of Christ, does not understand. You and I find wisdom and strength only in the cross. We affirm that Christ alone has the words of everlasting life, that he alone is perfect, he refreshes the soul, his teaching is trustworthy, he gives wisdom to the simple. Christ Jesus has called us into one body, into one body, the body of the church, his body, to be his holy temple, filled with the presence of his Holy Spirit. May the Lord Jesus set our hearts aright. May he enlighten our minds and sharpen our eyes to see, to understand, and to do all the things that he commands us to do. Let us never fear anything. We fear nothing but losing him and the promise of life that he gives us. We must always fear sin that robs us of that promise, but instead endure in the sweet and precious way of the gospel. Consumed with zeal for his house, the eternal Holy of Holies, may our souls long and yearn to live forever in the courts of the house of the Lord.